shortly, but Daniel Andrews does join us. Welcome, Premier. Great to have you on the program, and congratulations, firstly.
Thank you very much, and it's very good to be with you, Dwayne.
Firstly, we had a few callers last night saying we don't need a holiday grand final Friday, and in fact, if City doesn't have workers in the city on that Friday, it might be a ghost town. You think that there might actually be more people for the grand final parade if it's a holiday?
Look, I think if it's a holiday, and it will be next year, I think that families will welcome that, and it'll be one of the best grand final parades ever. There's also an opportunity to do a whole lot of activities in regional Victoria as well. And, you know, we've got, so Friday next year will be October the 2nd. And, you know, I think it'll be a fantastic opportunity for families to spend time together and to share in, you know, what's an iconic event. You know, I grew up in country Victoria and we're 3 hours away and we would never have come down to the grand final parade. I think that it's just about recognising that families work hard, a lot of people are under a lot of pressure, and it's just the right thing to do. There might be a lot of other people who, Dwayne, who are not AFL fans necessarily, who might go and spend a long weekend in regional Victoria. Those tourism opportunities are really important. That's all about jobs. This is about balance. You know, we've put this forward. Some people agree with it, some people won't. But I think on balance, this is going to be a fantastic boost to the city, to the game, and to our state.
Dan, one of the hot topics over the course of
Dan.
Your election was the UFC. Cage fighting, you were for it. I was very surprised you were for it. You got two young boys yourself. What draws you to cage fighting and what makes you want that in Victoria?
Well, look, this is not my game. I don't necessarily watch this myself. But what I do know is that this is a rapidly growing sport, and those who regulate combat sports have made it very, very clear to me that if you do this in a conventional boxing ring, it's not safe in that some of the competitors fall out all the time into the crowd. You know, you've got to do it in a fit-for-purpose environment, and the octagon is an inherent requirement of these mixed martial arts bouts. You know, there is the prospect of filling Etihad Stadium. This is a massive sport. It is a legitimate sport. It is growing. And if you're going to do it, my view on this is you best do it properly.
Some would say it's not even safe inside the octagon, though. Can I call you Dan as well?
Of course you can. Absolutely. And look, again, not everyone will want to go and be part of this. Not everybody wants to go and watch boxing or wants to go and watch all sorts of different sports. I'm not about telling people what they should and shouldn't enjoy. We get enough of the sort of nanny state stuff from politicians. I'm not going to add to that. What I am about, though, this is an economic opportunity. It's a legitimate sport. If you're going to do it properly. The last thing we want is other states like Queensland, who have had some and really massive events up there. These economic opportunities should be coming to our city. We're the major events and sporting capital of the world, and this is one of the fastest growing sports in the world.
Speaking of regional Australia, Dan, the Cats, Brian Cook wants 40,000-plus capacity at Simmons Stadium. You've promised money for a rebuild. If you can get him over the 40,000 mark, he can host Richmond, Carlton, and your club Essendon down there as well. Are you happy to travel down for your Bomber games?
Well, I'll be just happy to make sure Essendon's on the field. But anyway, that's another set of issues. Look, Simmons Stadium being finished is about finishing what's been started. You've got a couple of stages to go. You've got probably the worst media facility anywhere in the game. And I know there's been a lot of complaints and there's a lot of real issues about whether Simmons as it is now is fit for purpose. This is also about jobs. We're going to do a partnership with the local TAFE. We're going to make sure that as much of that work goes to local firms. This really is not just about building the best regional stadium in Victoria, but I think this will be the best regional stadium anywhere in the country. And that makes possible all sorts of other things, whether it be 2020 games, rugby games, all sorts of different things, concerts and other live events. The other part about this, the Sunrise Centre, which is a partnership between Deakin University, the Cats, and the TAC, all about rehabilitation, and that's about jobs as well. But Simmons Stadium as well is a very big function. There's a couple of thousand, a very big function centre. There's a couple of thousand events that are held at the ground and in the stadium each year. So this is jobs, skills, the best regional stadium anywhere in the whole nation. It's good for the Cats, obviously, but it's good for the Geelong economy as well.
So what's the time frame for the 40,000-plus capacity, and can you help the Cats get a few more night games down there, given that they had a big spend on the lights and they only got one there for next year?
Well, look, obviously, I'm not going to pretend that I've I'm in a position to be able to change the AFL fixture. That's a matter for Gil and his people. But if you build the capacity, if you've got the best facilities anywhere in regional Australia, then it makes sense, doesn't it, to have those night games? And I think families right throughout the Surf Coast, the Bella Range, Geelong proper, that rapidly growing western side of our city, you know, that'll be a very convenient thing to get to go from that Wyndham corridor down to Geelong, rather than perhaps coming into the city. In terms of the work, we'll make a start on this next year, and it'll be completed as soon as it possibly can.
Dan, you say you're from the regional Victoria, so the push into Ballarat, you would love that. The $31.5 million upgrade to Eureka Stadium, my old former club, the Western Bulldogs, I think it's fantastic they're going to play football in Ballarat. The only issue with me is, coming from Caulfield South, it'd take me 45 minutes if the East-West link was there, but now it's going to take me 2.5 hours, mate.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, though, Nathan, that the East-West link that they were proposing to build runs between Clifton Hill and Flemington. So you're talking about the second stage, which was a very, very long way off. A pipe dream, some people might say. The issue here is, if you can create an AFL standard stadium but retain the atmosphere, the very special atmosphere of country footy, what a fantastic opportunity that is. If you, and again, I don't want to be pretending that I can fix to the games, but there's an awful lot of people drive across from Adelaide, Crows games, Port games, straight past Ballarat. If we could get the fixture right, then all of those dollars, all those stays in hotels, those meals in restaurants, those jobs for young people, they can be a big part of Ballarat's story. So we're going to push on with this. There's issues around the grandstand, the scoreboard, getting it up to AFL standard, change rooms and all those sort of things. And we're hopeful that by the 2017 season, there's been some talk about maybe it'll take till 2018, but that's for Peter Gordon and for the Bulldogs to deal with. But we'll have it ready as soon as we can. And to have AFL footy with a country atmosphere, that's great for Ballarat, and it's great for jobs. I think it's great for footy, really. They're already going to have one pre-season game next year, and I think that's going to continue into the future. But then to have home and away games, two or three of those a year, I think that's a fantastic outcome.
Yeah, I totally agree. Country people love their footy.
We're talking to Daniel Andrews, the Victorian Premier. Daniel, speaking of Port Adelaide and Adelaide, and I know you love your public transport. In Adelaide, they have free public transport for a few hours before Port Adelaide and Adelaide AFL games and for a few hours after. Would you ever consider, as we have for the Australian Open 2 weeks, where you can travel free on the trams, if you've got a ticket to the Australian Open, free public transport on our trams to the MCG and to Etihad if you've got an AFL ticket?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, and I know other cities have done it very well. You look at that Adelaide Oval redevelopment, that's just a standout in terms of what they've been able to achieve there.
And it's a lot of it's public transport. There's not a lot of parking there.
That's right. I'm always happy to look at good ideas, but I've got to say our priorities in relation to public transport, the proposal that the former government put forward, which would have had the Frankston line no longer being able to go to Flinders Street. And also, if you lived down at Carrum, say, you couldn't go direct to Richmond, you'd have to get off at South Yarra and change. That doesn't make sense. We've got to double the size of the city loop so you can do morning and afternoon peaks without a timetable, more trains more often. But the most important thing is to get rid of these deadly level crossings. They're congested. How many of your listeners are stuck at one right now? And what's more, if you can't run more trains on those lines, Duane, because if you do, the boom gates are down for like 50 minutes of the hour.
Yep.
So there's lots of good ideas in public transport and in terms of road projects as well, but you've got to get the sequence right. So, look, I'm more than happy to look at those ideas. I've had people raise that with me in the past. But, again, you've got to be clear to make promises you can keep and then get on and do just that.
So you've promised Junction Oval for cricket but not for the Saints and not for AFL, but it would be a massive boost for footy to get back to the MCG with the Junction Oval allowing the Shield games to head there. So,
that is the key point here. Like, my thinking on this has always been about get Shield cricket out of the G in those first few rounds of the AFL season. I think we were denied the opportunity nationally. There was no game there, but there was 2 weeks, I think the second to last final and the final, neither of which Victoria were part of. And even if we had been, there would have been, 2,000-3,000 people there. I just got a sense this year, it was really confirmed for me this year, the season seemed to start very slow. It took weeks before we had a blockbuster game, Melbourne's game in Melbourne. I think getting cricket out of the G, giving Gil and his team the flexibility to fixture games there from round one, that's always what's driven me on this. Now, if St Kilda can come home. I'm more than happy to have a talk. Gillen has spoken to me about this a few times. I'm more than happy to talk to the AFL and to St Kilda Footy Club and to others. Old Melbourne is a part of this as well. I'm always happy to talk to them, but I've got a primary objective here, and that is to free up the MCG for footy from round one each and every year. I think that's a pretty big priority and something that I think footy fans will be keen on. It's also about giving cricket a dedicated home, both for national cricket, state cricket, and all the other junior programs, women's cricket as well. We need to make sure that we've got the best change rooms that are gender appropriate, all those things. The Junction Oval project stands up really well. If it can be bigger, my door's open. I'm always happy to talk about things.
And last one, quickly before you go, will you be standing up and applauding James Hird when he walks out to coach Essendon round one next year?
Oh, look, I made some comments the other day. I was asked a question about whether he should stay or go. Look, at the end of the day, I think every Essendon Footy Club member and fan wants this over and done with. There's different views on whether James should stay or go. I'm not. I have the job that I wanted, which is to be the leader of our state, not the leader of the Essendon Football Club. I know Paul Little well. I know David Evans well. I know lots of people down at the club well. They've got some difficult decisions to make. They've got to work through this process. What I want most of all is I want the Essendon Footy Club on the back page of the paper and off the front page of the paper. Now, whether I'll get that wish, I don't know. We'll just have to see how this plays out.
Dan, I thought a real turning point in the election was when you went from Daniel to Dan. I thought it was a really nice...
I'm struggling with it tonight myself.
Was it a PR thing or did you come up with that? Because I thought that just about got you across the line in the end.
All my friends have called me Dan. Kath calls me Dan, and that's always what I've been known as. But, you know, people have been writing a lot and talking a lot about the clothes I've been wearing and the way I look. My kids said to me about 6 or 8 months, about a year ago now, you need to eat better, you need to look a bit better, you need to lose some weight, and I did. And, you know, when you live with a marathon runner, my wife is probably fit enough for both of us, but I, you know, you wear different clothes because all the old ones don't fit you. Dan's what my friends refer to me as. I don't know, I'm less concerned about these things, I'm just about getting on with it.
We love it, mate, keep it up.
It's a great honour, it's a great responsibility, and we've got good, positive, optimistic plans, and we're going to give this a real crack, and we'll deliver on all of them, and then it'll be a matter for others to judge whether we've done a good job or otherwise.
Mr Premier, we thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.